This next message was delivered at Yizkor on Yom Kippur. The code of Jewish law tells us that there are, in every home, to burn two lights at Yizkor time. It calls one the Yizkor light and the other the Neshama light. The code gives a reason for both lights, and I would like to explain it later on at the end of my sermon. But we have come here to Yizkor to weep for those we have lost, and each one of us has a loss in his heart and weeps privately, and all of us together as a nation of Israel, all of us bemoan our losses as a nation. That's why there are two parts to Yizkor. There's the Kel Moli Rachmim, in which we say our own prayers, the Yizkor prayers personally, and then there is the Moli Rachmim that we say for all the Kedoshim, for those who have been sacrificed by our people as well. And we shed tears indeed at this time. But these are not tears of sorrow, because if they were, on the holiday, we would not be permitted to shed them, especially on the holidays of Pesach, Sukkot, and Shavuos, which are joyous holidays, and where sorrow is not permitted. For there are tears of sorrow. Shiva has tears of sorrow. The first 3 days of Shiva are considered days of tears, and then the next 4 days are days of consolation. There were tears of sorrow at the pogroms of Europe, tears of sorrow at the destruction of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. When four sages were walking at the Temple Mount and saw a fox emerging from the Holy of Holies, three of them wept bitter tears, and those were certainly tears of sorrow. None have experienced tears of sorrow as we Jews have, even until the Holocaust of our time, and none can cope with them as we have, unfortunately, because of our bitter experience and our long experience. But if these were the only kind of tears, we would have despaired and disappeared long since. At the time of Vespasian, our sages had a problem because many groups amongst our Jewish people were so desperate that they were willing to avoid having children, avoid marriage, and commit a kind of racial suicide. For their tears of sorrow turned to tears of despair. Our sages were concerned. Rabbi Yehoshua, leading them, approached them and pleaded with them, begged them that they should not let their tears of sorrow turn to tears of despair, because that is the way to end our people. But rather, sod adam beso b'sid u'mishayo b'dover muad. A man makes a beautiful home and paints it and decorates it, but leaves a little as a remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash. Not a remembrance of the destruction alone, but a remembrance of the Beis HaMikdash, that somehow we will rebuild it again in the future. Not just remembrance of the past, but a determination to live in the future, a turning towards the future, with resolution and hope that would ultimately lead to rebuilding Jerusalem and the Beis HaMikdash. The Jew refuses to allow tears of despair. He insists on changing even the tears of sorrow to tears of resolve and of rededication that would ultimately lead to tears of joy. That's what we mean when we say, Oz Himolei Schok Pinu Ulshonenu Rino. Then will our mouths be filled with song. And we look towards that time in the future. Now, during this high holiday period on Rosh Hashanah, we read about two women who wept, Hogar and Rachel. Now, Hogar threw away her child and turned aside and wept desperate tears because she gave up. Rachel refused to accept any comfort or consolation, refused to give up the hope for the future. Hogar, but for God's intervention, would have died with her child. Rachel. Not so Rachel. She and her children were given hope because she refused to give up hope. There is reward in the end. Your children will return from the lands of the enemy. Your children will return to their boundaries. President Reagan, without realizing this, captured the spirit of Judaism in his comment to Begin that he did not weep at any of the sad times, but only when the state was established. And in fact, this is reflected in the story of Joseph. We don't find Joseph having wept in the pit. We didn't weep when he was in the dungeon. At no time did he weep until he was reconciled with his brothers. Then he wept tears of triumph, Tears of joy, yes, but tears of hope for the future. I have been sent here before you to give you life, he said. Conversely, the one time when all of our people lost this gift of hope and wept desperate tears, we were sorely punished for it. At the time of the report of the spies, we wept that one night all through in hopelessness. And for that one night's weeping, the concept of Tisha B'Av came to the world. That was the first Tisha B'Av, and all of the tsaras that ever would have to come upon our people would come on that night. This spirit of renewal and hope is best expressed by the fact that after return to the cemetery, even at the most difficult part of Shiva, a mourner is required to eat a meal to bring himself back to the, somehow, to the land of the living. And the words, Hamokom Yenachem, God will comfort you. All will be well because it is, after all, God who comforts you, indicates that even if man cannot give comfort, if we trust in God, there is comfort. It is the way we express our emotions that give the hopefulness and happiness to Judaism, and even the secret of our life. We do not say, Hashovchim demos, they who shed tears will weep in joy, but Hazorim bidmos, those who plant with tears, those whose tears plant for the future, they will reap in joy. Berino yiktzoru. If we had remained paralyzed from the Shoah, Israel would not have been. If we had succumbed spiritually as well as physically to the massacres of 1648, the Gzeros Tachvatat, there would have been no great yeshivos of Europe, Panevish, Presburg, Slabodka, Voloshin, Mir, and the communities of Europe would have dwindled and been lost, and we ourselves, who are their spiritual heirs, would not have been. If we had allowed ourselves the luxury of tears at the time of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash of the Holy Temple to engulf us completely and cause us to succumb in despair, we would never have recovered sufficiently to have survived. Jeremiah was the one at the very destruction of the first temple who gave the program. He said, you build homes, you plow, you plant, and one day you will return to Eretz Yisrael. He commanded optimism. Rabbi Yehoshua, when he was pleading with those who wanted to commit racial suicide at the time of the second destruction of the Holy Temple, was only carrying out Jeremiah's program. And when those four sages went out of the Holy of Holies and three of them wept, there was a fourth, Rabbi Akiva, who said that if this prophecy of destruction comes true, then there are those other prophecies of the rebuilding would come true. And so he laughed, and this was not a question of a pious faith or a wish for the future or simply a hope, but it was a sure and certain knowledge, so secure that he could even laugh in the midst of the destruction, because as far as Rabbi Akiva was concerned, it wasn't destruction. It was already rising. It was being rebuilt. He saw old men and children and boys and girls playing. He saw the synagogues. He saw Me'er Sha'arim. He saw rebuilt Jerusalem, as it is today in our time. Rabbi Akiva was walking the streets in our day. This assurance of Rabbi Akiva is reflected in the words Hamokom Yenachem, that God will console. So get up, make your life a better one. And that's the spirit of Yizkor. Not to weep for parents and forebears, and tragically even sometimes for children, but greatly to learn from them and become greater people thereby. Not to lose courage in the face of implacable enemies. We had them before, and we survived them. Not to lose heart when assimilation grows, but to increase our struggle against it, remembering how we overcame the defections of the past. Defections to Christianity and Mohammedism, of course, because they were built at first on Jewish defections before they turned outward. But also symbol of them all and reflections of our own time, the Hellenists. As great as the losses were at the time of the Hellenists, as many as the defections were, so great was the victory of the faithful few, the Maccabees. And so that we should not lose hope when assimilation grows, but like them, increase our struggle against it. And not to lose hope in the reflection of the difference between parents and we. Their knowledge, their piety, their way of life. We too can do it in our own way, if we consider this not a time of sorrow, but a time of resolve, of rededication, of self-improvement, so that through us they should have life, and therefore this shall be a time of hopefulness. And so we return to the Shulchan Aruch. There are two lights that we light at home on Yom Kippur. One is the Yizkor light, and the other is the Neshama. not the neshamas of the departed, the Yisraelite is for the departed, the neshamas of the living. It is our neshamas that that light represents. The second light stands for our souls and for the Torah which is in our keeping. If we keep the neshama light for the living, only then will the Yisro light continue to burn. Ken Yehi Ratzon. Amen. Now these two messages were delivered on Yom Kippur, 5742-1981. We hope that you have enjoyed them and would like to have your response to the idea of recording messages for people who cannot come to synagogue. God bless you with a good year. Shalom.